Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some years ago, Carol and I were driving back from the Sacramento airport to Chico. And as we were driving, Carolyn was trying to explain to me about the orange rabbit that was in the airport. I said, "What rabbit?" "It's right there." "You've never seen it?" I couldn't figure out what she was talking about. I could see nothing in my visual memory. Now, the next time we went to the airport, which wasn't too long after that, she took out her hand and she pointed, "There's the rabbit." You know what I'm talking about. It's huge, 56 feet long. How could I have missed it? I did. I tried to justify my not seeing it. That was my defensive place. And then at that point in my life, I realized I needed to help my visual memory. Carolyn suggested, "You know, you take some bird pictures. Why don't you take bird pictures and notice them more? And maybe then you'll grow in your visual learning skills." I'm a sensate learner, audible learner, and I'm growing probably the rest of my life with that visual learning. I suspect that's true for all of us. There are certain parts of life that are hidden from us that may need growing. Sometimes something is hidden because we simply don't see it, like me. Today in the book of Esther, we heard the story of how Esther saved the captives who had been taken from Judah to Babylon during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Esther's birth name was Hadassah, which means myrtle. The name Esther was given to her by Mordecai, her cousin. She was selected to be one of the virgins to replace the queen Vashti. And Mordecai was protecting Esther and told her not to share with him or anyone that she was Jewish. Sometimes things are hidden to protect, as Mordecai did for his cousin, Hadassah. There was intention in the hiddenness. Other times, something is hidden because one is not tracking what's happening. In today's gospel, the disciples had been following Jesus for a while, and they had a sense of thinking they knew what his ministry was about. They had watched Jesus telling stories, and people were hungry to hear these stories. Maybe they came because they were also physically hungry, because Jesus is known for having these big bashes of food for a lot of people. They also knew that Jesus attended to people who were truly hurting, who needed healing. I wonder if the disciples began to feel a connection with him that gave them misunderstood authority. In last week's gospel, which comes right before today's, we find Jesus asking the disciples, "What are they arguing about?" Text says they were silent. They had been arguing about who would be the greatest. And Jesus goes on to say in that text, "The one who is greatest is servant of all." And then Jesus points to a child. In today's gospel, it seems like John is not tracking what Jesus has said. John basically changes the subject from servanthood to what he was consumed with, misunderstood power. He tells Jesus that they told this person who was not following Jesus to stop from casting out demons from them in Jesus' name. Jesus responds to John's reprimand by suggesting that John, he doesn't say this in the text, these are my words, your world is too small. Be careful not to become a stumbling block to one of these little ones. He points to the child. And yet John was still in the argument phase from last week as to who was the greatest, and the truth is hidden from him. Usually when we hear the word hide or secret, we wonder if a person is trying to trick another person or to avoid something that maybe should be spoken. In any hiddenness, we know it in ourselves. There's always an invitation. We may not want to look at it, we may not want to consider it, and yet it's an invitation. We are asked to consider, why are we hiding or keeping something secret? And then there's a follow-up response. What needs to happen? In the story of Esther, the bottom line for Mordecai was to protect her cousin Esther, who was like a daughter, for he had raised her. And he was also concerned for the Jewish people, of whom he was also one, from being mistreated and perhaps killed. In the gospel, John wanted to make sure that who he thought Jesus was would not be missed. And he assumed the one casting out demons didn't know Jesus. John had put Jesus in a box. For me, and my not being able to see, I was invited to expand my visual sense, and that continues deeply for me even today. So initially, while Esther's name change was critical in today's story, it was now time for her to speak the truth. Esther needed to come clean to the king. She knew that there was something hidden from the king, and she needed to speak it. She shared that she had a petition and a request of the king. The king doesn't know what it is. He is so enamored with Esther. She is so beautiful. He begins by offering everything she desires without knowing what she will share. Your petition is granted and your request is fulfilled, he says, even up to one half of my kingdom. Can you imagine someone forgiving you without even knowing what the error is? That's how God looks at each one of us. Even before we can name our faults, our shortcomings, our dark places, God has already granted forgiveness. It invites us to look more deeply at the gospel. John wanted to limit the kingdom of God. He stopped this person from casting out demons because he wasn't following Jesus the way that he thought he should. Jesus starts by saying, "Don't stop anyone who is for us, for they soon will be with us." And then, interestingly, in the text, The tone shifts. It almost feels like Jesus is John at this point, because he says, if you are a stumbling block for one of these little ones, it would be better that a millstone would be hung around your neck and being cast into the sea. It sounds harsh. It's not like the giftingness of the king. And then again, you need to remember what the king did after he granted Esther's request. He had Haman hung. Jesus' words to the disciples here were more like they were a metaphor that were shaking the shoulders of the disciples, saying, if you truly want to be my followers, then you've got to focus on these little ones. What's interesting about the text from last week and this week, most likely Jesus was still holding this little child on his knee when John was making this complaint. For it's easy to be dismissive of those who are youngest in our midst, those with less experience, because maybe we think they wouldn't even notice. Maybe Jesus' question to John is to ask him why he can't treat this person casting out demons like a child. Now, the text in the gospel today ends with this kind of darker section in the gospel, with a transition that you may wonder, what is the meaning of that? It almost sounds like Jesus once again is being a John. Why this? Why does he talk about salt and fire? There will be a time when we will all be salted by fire, the text says. Now, these two images, fire and salt, are metaphors that lift up how easily we can experience destruction as human beings. We've heard those words in the text today. Drowning, maiming the body, hanging. Those are all dark words. But these two words, fire and salt, may give us a way forward as followers of Jesus. We know the downside of fire in our world today here in California. It's not uncommon to see fire, but it seems worse these days. And salt, if you take too much of it, you can die. However, we can look at these words differently. Fire and salt. Fire can rid creation of disease. There can be a cleansing. And in the old days, salt was as valuable as gold because it could preserve life, and it still does. These two words can have opposite effects, bad and good. And sometimes they are hidden from each other. So my question, are we willing to hear these words, salt and fire, in helpful ways for us to step more fully into what it means to be followers of Jesus, to kind of take John's reaction and see a shift? I wonder if the invitation is to know that salt can be righteousness. Now, there's a problem with righteousness because it can become self-fulfilling. But When righteousness is done out of love, it's the very best sense of righteousness. It's not John's way of saying who's in and who's out, but it's rather Esther's way, by admitting to the ruse of her hiding her identity, initially good, but now not so good. Now she's invited to speak truth to the king. And yet, in her willingness to speak truth, she doesn't even have to speak the truth before the king forgives her. Her wisdom is another way to speak about salt. She was concerned mostly for the children of Israel. The kind of righteousness that we are invited to live into is one that is not hidden. We are invited to share it in community so that we can all live in peace. The last verse in the text from Mark today says this: have salt in you and be at peace with one another. If you use salt correctly, you don't taste it, but you gain the flavor of what fullness is. Watermelon, a vegetable, a dessert can experience fullness with good use of salt. And that's when love is present. So hear these words from Psalm 85 that speak it so well. Love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss. For things not to be hidden, those elements need to go together. Love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss. Let these words live in us to be in full view, so the kingdom of God will give life to all. Amen.